A non-drinker and a former senator running a distillery. They're not the likeliest pair, but for a Tassie two-step, come for a visit to Patek's Distillery, where Raj Singh and Stephen Parry will walk you through the shiny stills and the aisles of barrels in their warehouse at Cambridge.
My name is Raj and I'm the head distiller for Patek's Distillery.
Stephen, and I'm a part of the distillery in the excavation business, and I suppose I keep it all together.
This is a fairly new life for each of you. What was your job before you were in this business, Stephen?
Well, Helen, as you know, I was a senator for Tasmania and president of the Senate, and the provisions of our lovely constitution or the interpretation thereof by the High Court of Australia means I can't hold a seat in Parliament any longer.
We'll come back to that. Raj, what was your job before you got into this business?
So, Helen, previously I was in India. I was in my father's business. I was helping him, and then I came to Australia. I was studying, and I was part-time Uber driver, wherein I met my business partner, Andrew Patton. And then just came here and did some research on plastic business. Then we got into the distillery, did some short courses. Now I'm a distiller.
I'd love to know, when you compare distilling gin to these other careers you've had before, how does it compare?
Well, it's a real contrast. I mean, it's totally different. Hands-on manufacturing is different to legislation and modelling of legislation. Chalk and cheese.
Preference?
I'm enjoying what I'm doing now. I do miss the Senate. I don't miss politics, but I miss the Senate.
How does it compare for you, Raj?
For me, it's the different opportunity. I never drank before since I've got into the distilling world, and then I've started tasting a lot of many things, and now I understand how it works, and it's far better than what I was doing earlier, because over there it was just routine tasks, whereas in here I'm a kind of a person who wants to innovate and find new things, and this is helping me do every day in, day out.
How did you come to work together?
Well, Raj met our third partner, Andrew, in Melbourne. Raj was the Uber driver, and they hit it off straight away. Then Raj wanted to come to Tasmania, so he came over here with his wife and lovely daughter, and we met, and we've all clicked, and we just got on so well, and the business partnership is flourishing, mainly through our good relationships, but also we just get in and do work when we have to work, and we work well together.
If people aren't familiar with the name you've come up with for the gin you've released, what have you called it, Stephen?
Well, we ummed and ahed many times, but if it wasn't for the provisions of Section 44 of the Australian Constitution, that we would never have got together. So we've called it Section 44, and people love the story, they love the flavour, and the fact that I suppose we've used a little bit of irony in our name.
Can we have a little tour?
Absolutely, and a taste if you're allowed to this time of the day.
Who's checking the clock?
Yeah, well, this is our distillery, of course. We do two things here. We distill whiskey and we distill gin. Also, we have a little bit of brandy that's aging in barrels at the moment from some lovely 2015 Pinot from the Northwest Coast. So we've converted that into brandy. So you can see the stills. We have two large stills here for our whiskey production, and the smaller one with the taller tower, that's the gin still. And the botanicals, which Raj will be able to tell you more about, but the botanicals are infused in the distilling process. Nothing's added afterwards. It's distilled within the process itself.
What was debate like? How do you come to a decision about which botanicals are going to be the emphasis in your gin?
It was a lot of effort. I think it took us more than 3 months just to get the formula right. And every day in, day out, I'd distilled different botanicals with different combination, and my business partner Stephen Perry and Andrew, they came in after a long day driving trucks and tasting every day.
Oh yeah, sounds like a real struggle for them that way.
they were already struggling every day. How many times do we need to taste? We had this great bench made by one of the partners, and they literally came here, tasted every day in, day out, 10 different gins, and then finally one day I had, I think, number 9, as everyone said yes, and I was very happy with it. And 9 had lemon myrtle as a predominant flavor, which everyone is accepting. We were at the January, people loved it, and we're trying to support local products by having Tasmanian pepperberry, which throughout the world, which we want to take it to India and other places where people don't know much about it. And specifically, a grower in South, they're growing lemon myrtle and coriander for us, which they have not done in the past. So they're just doing it specifically for us, and hopefully yes, people are enjoying and they're loving it so far.
Was it your favorite, the one they ended up choosing?
It was everyone's favorite. Like, I liked it, but I didn't disclose it to them before getting on to the right thing. Then I gave them blind taste. I didn't tell them what is in there. And sometimes, some instances, they said, ah, that's yuck. And sometimes they said, ah, it's great. But then I had to combine everything. And we kept it really simple. You can go to distilleries, they would have 40-odd botanicals in it. But we kept it nearly to 4 major botanicals and a few others in it. And the simpler it is, and the better it is for everyone.
You've still got a massive drawer somewhere full of all the notes of all the different botanicals and how many. This one had 7 juniper berries, yes, and 4 yes, pepper berries.
Yes, I have got a notebook with me, and which when I look at it, and it just gives me wow feeling, and that is what I'm going to use for our next gin, which is already prepared, and we'll be launching it maybe this winter. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. That's.
Is it? This one is. It's like. Somebody snapped off a lemon myrtle branch and is waving it in your face. Is there a prominent character of the next one?
Very much. It's very much connected to me. But we won't disclose much. That's the hint. And because it's very, I think, competitive world we are living in. And if we lose the hints before launching it, so everyone will already have it. So I would rather, yeah.
Secret business. Okay. Well, I'd love to know a little bit about you two. And how you work together as well. What is one of the highlights of working with Raj?
Oh, sense of humour. We both just get in and work when we have to work. Long hours, long days. But we've always maintained a great sense of humour. Particularly, we stir each other over little things, like Raj lashed out and bought a $17 calculator, unauthorised one day. So every time we discuss finances and things like that, we always bring up the calculator. It's a sense of amusement between the partners.
What do you like about working with Stephen?
He's just like a tough dad to me, and I'm not missing my father here. Every time I spend extra here, and I have to think of him rather than anything else. And sometimes I think I should have spent it out of my own pocket. I shouldn't have thought of. I should spend it out of business.
That calculator.
Yeah. Calculator is just to start with. So yeah, it's great working with him. I've learned so many things. I'm thankful that very fortunate to be part of this group, and specifically around Mr. Perry, because since I've come in, he's helped me as to settle down as with my family, with my friends, and helped me learn local things. It's been great. Yes, it's been a great journey working with both of my business partners here. Yeah.
Are you offended he says you like his dad? Is that an age crack?
Well, it covers both. It's certainly age, and I do provide the discipline his father doesn't occasionally, but his father has communicated with me, and he's very happy with the steps I'm taking.
That is, I mean, that stuff, where do you go when they gang up?
It's difficult. Don't want to say it publicly. Very difficult at times, but nah, it's all good, and it's part of journey. Every now and then, we think if we haven't laughed at our work, it's very boring. And that is what I think our relation is over here, that we enjoy talking to each other and just picking on each other and passing the day out. Yeah.
What about the other side of the coin? What drives you nuts about working with Raj?
Well, there isn't anything really. I get frustrated sometimes, like we all get with each other, where Raj might want to do something a different way, and then he comes back to our way of thinking eventually. There's nothing really that irritates me, and that's the great thing about the three of us in this business. We're all different, we're all unique, and we all have a set of skills to bring to the partnership, and they just flourish, and we all respect that. And that's probably the secret to our success in that sense.
He had a politician's diplomacy then, Raj. Does that mean you can't say what you don't like about working with him? What's tough about working with him?
I just say everything, but I can never win a conversation with him. And I've already given it up. So, yeah, that's... We love working together, but no diplomacy. I think that's the beauty of our relation here. We are very transparent with each other. Whatever is there in our heart, we just say it, whether the other one likes it or not. It's not like any outside organization. We want to have a family kind of environment where you just... straightforward and truthful to each other. Yeah.
Well, speaking of transparent, let's continue the tour of your gin. Did you like that segue?
Yeah.
Wandering around Section 44 here on your afternoon on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. Oh, what's on this barrel?
Well, These are going to be our single malt, 18-year-old single malt Tasmanian whiskey. So we put three 500-litre barrels down. This one will be opened on my grandson's 18th birthday. His name is Hartley. So we've called this the Hartley. This was the first one. I'll be 77 then, so I hope I see the day. This one is named after Raj's daughter, Ahana. And this will be also an 18-year-old single malt and probably opened on Ahana's 20th birthday or thereabouts. So we'll see how that goes. And Andrew's got three daughters and he couldn't decide which one. So we've called it Handy Andy. So this is his 500-litre barrel, probably to be opened on his 50th birthday. 60th. Yeah, so that's what we've named these three. So they're here for the long term. And, of course, the rest are all, they mature. After 2 years, you can call your product whiskey, after it's been 2 years ageing in a barrel. So these come online in December of this year. So we'll hit the market. Where gin's the opposite. Gin is ready within 6 to 8 weeks. So that's why the gin's in the market now, because we've distilled it, bottled it, and taken it to market.
Would you consider Tasmanian whiskey a crowded market?
Not at all. Not at all. We are, as Bill Lark says, we are not all competitors. We should all sail in one big boat together to overcome the world. I think our production would be maybe 5%, not even 5% in the world. So we have got big world to do. Maybe we are crowded in Tasmania, but we got ample future, ample, like, we can go around world and just... When I tell people the quantity I'm producing here in India, they just laugh sometimes because it's massive big market in the world. And if once it hits Indian markets or it becomes a taste to many different people in the world, then this is a very small quantity we are looking at. Very, very small, yeah.
There is a very strong appetite for quality whiskey, and Tasmania is now recognised as a quality whiskey manufacturing place. And that's, I think, people just have this appetite, not just here in Tasmania or Australia, but worldwide, and that will continue. I can't see the market collapsing. I can just see it increasing constantly. And providing we maintain quality, and that's the big thing which all Tasmanian distillers are trying to achieve, is the quality.
Will you be a distiller for life now?
Well, I think this will be my last career, so we'll see what happens. But, yes, we'll be distilling for a long time. I might slow down. I mightn't come in and do the 5 o'clock shifts anymore. But we're, at the moment we are.
Could you see yourself doing this forever?
I do see it, then only I can innovate, and I would see a couple of years down the road, and then I would be coming back again to the management position, which I've been in previously over here. Since I've come to Tassie, I've done everything from labour to all the management things I've done, but I see myself in growing the business rather than just doing day-to-day mandate tasks, which we all... doing every at the moment, and it's necessary when you start the business. So that's why the zeal in us is because we are thinking it's going to go in a better direction and people are going to love this thing. So, yeah.
So you're a businessman in distilling rather than a distiller?
Yes, you can put it this way, yes. My main goal was to get into business, and then this opportunity was there, so to become a distiller, and then I opted for it and saved a lot of cost to the business. Otherwise, business would be just bearing the other cost of mine, not the distilling side.
What did your family think when you said, I'm going to go into distilling gin and whiskey?
Yeah, he could put it in a better way. I've heard him a story how I tasted first time, man.
Raj, he takes a lot of spiritual guidance from his father, and there's a very strong respect, father and son. And Raj is a teetotal non-drinking distiller, which is quite unique. But Raj got permission of his father one day to taste, and his father said, providing it's for the purposes of your developing your career, and he did. And we went to Whiskey Week, not this year, but last year. And I introduced Raj to a few different brands so he could understand the different tastes and flavours. And half an hour later, I saw him sitting down on a chair, and he said, oh, Mr. Parry, my head... isn't meant to hurt like this. Oh, Mr. Parry, my throat. So that was his one and only taste of whiskey. But Raj will now taste and doesn't necessarily imbibe the product, but just tastes it, and which you need to do from time to time. And between Raj, I and Andrew, we've all got a good sense of smell and taste and understand how we refine our product and how we get the product right, and Raj is a big part of that. And then Raj can go and implement that in his role as head distiller very successfully. Very successfully.
I will just mention more thing. In regards to family's appreciation in our religion, I think, if we're doing something for professional reasons, we are happy to do it, and that is what I've been guided by my family. No one objected it, and many people from my religion, they do drink, and it's not offensive or anything. It's just I didn't follow that path. So, but if I had to select it because of my professional reasons, I did, and I don't drink for my leisure purposes. I don't drink at my home. I don't drink in public. I don't drink at all, actually. Just taste it here, and that's it, so that you guys get the best product.
A Tassie two-step, meeting pairs of Tasmanians in all kinds of lives. Raj Charan Singh and former Senator Stephen Parry today of Patek's Distillery in Cambridge.